Well, good morning, everybody. Let me ask you a question. Anybody here in this last season have felt restless? Anybody had any like doubt, self-doubt, or maybe lack of motivation? Anybody felt like stagnation, or maybe you had a diminished sense of confidence, or maybe you felt distant from the Lord? Maybe you felt like your prayers weren't heard, or anybody here having relational difficulties and conflict? Anybody here feel like you have not been effective, maybe, or that you have a hard time staying focused or motivated? Anybody question where your passion's gone or why you are less passionate now than you have been? I'm just wondering. I'm just wondering. Anybody feel isolated? If you do, let me show you where you may be. Because where you may be is right here. And we've been using this model to talk about all eternity, God has his plan and purposes. Then he drops down into a time-space world where his purpose, now that he's already determined, already planned out, he's got your life, the Bible says, every day written in a book already down. He has your purpose written down. He has it all there. And he did that before anything was created. But now it drops down to a time-space world where God's purposes are being lived out now. And so, how many of you are glad you're not where you've been? Anybody here glad you are not where you were? Anybody? Won't go there. But all right, yeah, I'm glad you're not there. I'm glad I'm not where I was. All right. But how many of you know we got places to go we have yet to be? God's got more, yes. Got more for you. But in the middle of that, we're in this transition time right now where we're not where we were, where we're not where we're going to be. But in this transition time, sometimes there are those feelings that I just talked to you about. Now, we also, just to review, talked about there are at least five stages, and there are probably more, and folks call them different things, but the five stages is there's an entry point where you realize things are not as they were. Something has shifted. I don't quite understand what's going on, but things are changing. How many of you live long enough to see the world is changing at a faster pace than it ever has? Yes, it has. And so that happens to us. So things are changing. Now I start the evaluation process going, what is going on? Things are not where they were. I don't have passion like I had. There's some conflict going on. I have a hard time staying focused and motivated. I start evaluating. Then somehow in the middle of this transition period, the purposes God has for us, somehow we start aligning ourselves with. As we start aligning and God works in us what he wants to work in us, then we get a little more direction. And finally, we move into what our next step is. How many of you, every one of you here, believe that God's got a next step for you? Yes? All right, and so in order to move there, though, what is so interesting, in order to move there, we have got to become something that we have not been. It's not just about time elapsing. It's about becoming. This word becoming is interesting. Become, it means to come to be. I'm not what I was. But in order for me to do what I've called to do in the next season, I can't just move over as I am. I have to become something. Come into being. What God has designed for the next step, I have to come into being. Has anybody other than me gotten frustrated with weeds? And anybody ever wondered why grass is so hard to grow and weeds are so easy to grow? Many of you ever lost, I feel like you lost a battle with weeds and you decided, well, the best thing and the easiest thing to deal with weeds is I'm just going to cut them down. Because then, as long as it stays short, it blends into the other grass. And green is green. But when you just have a philosophy of just cutting the weeds off, guess what happens? they come back. Now, folks, in a transition period, oftentimes what God is going after is he's not doing the just cutting off at the top stuff. During a transition period, God wants to go down to the root system. And there's things that he doesn't want to take to this next season. And in order for us to become what we haven't been yet, there's got to be a certain amount of stuff that is dug up inside of us, some weeds. Particularly in terms of our thinking about ourselves and our thinking about God. It's time to do business. And during this phase, everybody take out your notes. I just want to go through five of these areas. You may be in one of these transitions. And I just want to give you a key verse to show you how this works. Because this alignment that we're talking about, where you align yourself with God, if that doesn't happen, then guess what happens? You, my friend, and me, we will be recycled again. Anybody here going through the same stuff that you've been through? And you wonder, why hadn't it gone away? It's because the root system is not up yet. And when the root system is up, then it will go away and full transition will happen. And so they're just key phrases to help, or scriptures to help understand this. Let's just take spirituality, for instance. If you're in a transition spiritually, and maybe it's a dry season, maybe it's some of the stuff I've mentioned, and you just don't know what's going on, then one key verse you may look at is, just write down James 4:8. James 4:8, which says, draw nigh unto the Lord, and he will do what? Come on, talk to him. And he will do what? Is that true, yes or no? So you're telling me that in a spiritual transition time, you draw near to God, and he is faithful to draw near to you, yes? Yeah. And that's just a key phrase, because even if things don't clear up, there'll be a sense of his presence that will enable you. All right, mentally, if you're in a transition and you just got some stuff mentally happening in your head, Proverbs 23:7. Proverbs, just write it down, 23:7. As a man thinks in his heart, finish it with me, so is he. Everybody watch me. You cannot move to your new place and think like you have thunk. I mean, present thinking, right, in the old where you have been is what fights you coming, and there has to be a paradigm shift. And oftentimes, what hinders people is the negative stuff that's in their head that they have yet to get rid of. As a man thinks, so is he. So what God says about you, if it's different than what you say about you, guess who you should agree with? God. Because what he said is true. So you set yourself in agreement. Or let's just look at relationships. Matthew 6:15. These are just again, there may be a lot of other scriptures that you will get to help you through this transition, but these are just make or break passages. For instance, Matthew 6:15 says this: if you don't forgive, then your heavenly Father, he can't forgive you. I tell you what, let's just have some fun, okay? It's okay to have fun in church?
Yes.
Okay, let's just have fun, all right? Let's just close your eyes just for a moment. Just close your eyes. And to pray this prayer with me, okay? Just pray this prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I want to forgive every person that's ever been in my life. And if you will show them to me, I will forgive them and release them to you. Okay, you can open your eyes. Did any person, did any name, did anybody come up in front of you? Well, I mean, we're just having fun, yeah? Some of you didn't know that. I don't know fun. I had like 15 of them come up. It's going to take me all afternoon to work through my list. That's all right. But if you don't, then the transition can't be complete, because the new you, in order to become, you've got to forgive. Marriage. You know what the most wonderful thing about this kind of stuff is? Is none of us have to stay the same. Not a single one of us. Because God's intention is us to be conformed to the image of Christ. Yes? Yes. So is that possible? Yes or no? Yes. So if you're angry, do you have to stay angry? No. If you're short of patience, do you have to stay short of patience? If you're just a mean person, do you have to stay there? Absolutely not. Is the power of His Word to work a miracle to transform us, is that possible? Yes. Yeah. So you don't have, none of us have to stay. And in marriage, the one of the most wonderful thing. Look what it says, and just write down the scripture. 1 Peter 4:8. It says, love one another. That's a good start for a marriage, isn't it? Love one another. And then it goes on to say, now watch this. And love covers a multitude of sins. Let me tell you. We spend a lot of time when somebody would give me a compliment or say something nice about me. And often I would look back at them and I said, you love me, don't you? Because you know what I'm seeing that they see? Is the good stuff. How many of you know there's plenty of bad stuff you can see? But love does what? Covers it. And I can tell you this, in marriage, friends, when you start picking out the small stuff, when you start highlighting the negative stuff, when you start sitting on all that stuff, then love has taken a back seat, because now all you are seeing is what's wrong. And when true love is engaged, guess what? You see the best. All of a sudden, they get pretty. All of a sudden, what irritated you? Now, love covers a multitude of sin. I'm telling you, you got to love. I mean, just look around. Somebody's got to be in love. Somebody's got to love you to live with you. Anybody say amen?
Amen.
Dean called me up, and she couldn't hardly talk. Her voice was raspy this morning. She called up, and she was going to... Maybe service, he said, I'm not going to be able to make it. And I said, I watched online, so I can hear her online going, amen, amen. I said, I got to love you a bunch, Mike. All right, financially, and Eddie talked about this, it's Malachi. If you're in a financial place where it's a transition, what you, did this just make sense? And I'll close the whole argument around this whole point. Does it make sense to you that if you want God's blessings on your finances and you are in this transition period, that you will never, ever fully transition with God's money in your pocket that you have stolen? Does that make sense? Yes. It just, sure it does. And so in order to move through a transition, have God's blessings on you, have things happen, just obey that particular scripture. Now, I want you to look at a verse with me in Romans 12. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world. Don't be the thinking, the rationale of this world. I mean, biblical thinking, that's where you go. But this world, don't let it. And J.B. Phillips' translation says this, don't let the world around you squeeze you into its own, say it with me, mold. So while you're going through a transition, friends, and watch this, he's after the root system and he's after molding you so that now what is, at least for this season, needs to be left back is left back, and now you fully transition. Paul goes on to say, look at this, Paul goes on to say, not only resist that, but also now be transformed. Now watch this, I want you to read this with me, but be transformed by the renewing of your what? Your mind. So that's the reason why thinking is the precursor of this movement, this understanding. And the Greek word here that's used for this transform is the word metamorpho, which we get the word metamorphosis, which y'all know, you know what that is. That's when the caterpillar crawls out on the limb and then starts weaving this thing, and he finally weaves it till he's all encased in this cocoon. And then you know what happens? He releases enzymes that literally eat itself up. But what is left has the DNA that begins now to spring forth and form. And at the right time, then from that caterpillar, out of that spot, will fly the most gorgeous butterfly you've ever seen. And friends, what he's saying is, you climb out on the limb, you walk where you're walking, and you're in this cocoon, this transition period, and you will find some of yourself dissipating. You will find some of your negative self, some of your pre-self that was so wrong in your thinking. You will find it dissipating. And as you align your thoughts with God's thoughts, then the DNA of your Heavenly Father, as you diminish, so to speak, as the self decreases, He increases on the inside of you. And now you become another step formed closer to the image of His Son. And you're transformed by the renewing, say it with me, of your mind. It's not about burning up time. It's not about just getting older. It's not about, you get older and stay the same. I mean, your stinking thinking can stay there and then nothing changes except another year. What did it say? Y'all don't even know this. Y'all too young to know this. Deeper in debt. Yeah, just another year, old company store. Another year of sameness. Never intended by God. You are transformed. And that's what makes life so incredibly exciting is you're moving in a direction of fulfilling His purpose. And it doesn't stay the same. It keeps on moving. This same word, let's go back to the script. This same word here, transform. I just want to give you a visual of this. There's a story in the New Testament of Jesus taking three disciples and going up on what's typically we call now the Mount of Transfiguration. He takes a disciple, goes up to the mount, and while he was there, a couple of his Old Testament buddies come to be with him. Anybody remember them? Elijah came and Moses came, the prophet, and they came, and they were there. And the Bible says that Jesus is this very same word, just transformed. And and what most theologians believe is that he, at that moment, put on what was his glorified body, his body they would have in heaven. We had a funeral here yesterday, and typically within any funeral, we go to a day where the body will be resurrected, you know, and then it's going to have its glorified body. And so that's true of all believers. But Jesus, just there with these guys, He all of a sudden, the Bible says that his face and his garments shone like the sun. And that's the same word. Don't be conformed to the world, but let me transform you so that when you walk out of that room, your wife will go, "Whoa. Hey, baby. You're shining." Well, not like Jesus, but maybe just a little bit. But that's the very same word that's used right here. Now, I'm going to show you a picture of this because very few of you will understand this by virtue of age, too. But my dad used to send me out, and I would go out and I would plow, and I would plow with what's called a bottom plow. Now, this is a bottom plow. You see the tip here at the end of it? It's a big plow, and so the tip would go in, and it would lay the dirt over, and so you would go real deep, lay it over, and this is the beginning of kind of the process of getting the soil ready to plant. But if I were going along and bottom plowing, if the tip of that plow ever went up under a root, Maybe they hadn't got the stump up or something, and it went up under a root. And then if you would let the wheel spin, because the root's not going to move. And if you let the wheel spin and you let them spin again, the more it spins, the lower that tractor gets. And finally, it can get to a point where that plow is in such a bind until you can't go forward or you can't go back. Anybody ever felt like that? The harder you try, the worse it gets. Anybody ever felt like you were... Anybody here try to go to sleep? The harder you try, guess what? The more you look at the clock. God, I got to get up in the morning. Anybody here try not to worry? How about, I always love this one. Don't think about this. Kind of remind me of Mom and Dad when they would say this phrase, when they were tired of my crying, they would say, all right, quit that crying, or I'll give you something to cry. Hi, you. Are we brothers or something? Man? Quit that crying, or I'll give you something to cry about. What is that all about? But it's that pushing. It's that effort. If anybody here ever bogged a car down? And the more it spins, the more effort. With the bottom plow, if the tractor sank so much it was in a bind, then what you had to do is get off the tractor, go around, unhook the plow, drive the tractor around, hook a chain or a rope up to it, pull it backwards out from under that place, and then get it back around and get the tractor to come back around and hook it back up, and you can start all over again. You know what's interesting about the Hebrew word for trust? The Hebrew word for trust is the word to attach. And that when you find yourself in a bind, in the transition where your efforts cannot get you out, and everything you seem to do gets worse, and you have to have something, a rope or chain, attach itself to you that literally pulls you out. That word trust is that word attach. And you trust the Lord. But you have to resign from the white knuckle club. Because being transformed is not something you can force happen. It is something you have to yield to. It is something that internally you have to respond to. And in order to do that, friends, you have got to take your hands off. I wonder what it is that in this transition you're fighting. I wonder what it is in this transition that your knuckles are white if you could see them. And God is saying, you're not going to get out of this one until you let me hook up to you and you trust me. Maybe that's what Paul said so often when he says, don't worry or don't fret. Pray, trust. Maybe that's what David meant when he said, trust. The Lord is my shepherd. Can I paraphrase? I'm not going to want, I'm going to trust. I'm going to release. And I'm going to cooperate with God so that I'll conform to this next season he has for me. Let me read you one last verse. It comes out of Hosea. Hosea writes, therefore I am going to allure her. Now this allurement is part of what I'm talking to you about. God is involved in this process of where you are. And he's pulling you through the transition. He's alluring you into a place. And the place here, he actually says, is a wilderness. going to lead her into the wilderness. But look what he said. I am going to speak tenderly to her. There are those of you here who, for a good while, you have this, some of you are at this service, and you know why you're here? You have been allured. God has brought you. Some of you have a certain kind of holy dissatisfaction because God's moving and he wants you to move through this transition into the new place he has for you. And so in order to move in the new, there had to be just holy dissatisfaction with where you were. And he wants to bring you into a new place. But in this thing he's bringing you into, he wants to speak to you. Would you just bow your heads with me just for a moment? And would you take your hands and put them in your lap? Would you take them? And then would you close them both? Father, we sit here and we all acknowledge our tendency to want to stay in control. But more than being in control, we would like you to conform us to your image. So in this place where we are, we're making a decision to trust you. And by trusting you, we yield to you. We place ourselves in agreement with you. Right now we release. You just open your hands now. We release in the name of Jesus. We recognize there's things that we have believed about ourselves that we can no longer believe. There are lies about our past, about our failures that we no longer can believe. That we will have to believe what you say about us and believe your calling on us. And there are certain things that need to be deconstructed inside of us that's been built of belief systems, of certain narratives and patterns and habits that they just need to be torn down. And we release those false beliefs. And we receive what you have for us. And I pray as we go into this last worship song, I pray you'd minister to people. I pray, Holy Spirit, the people who have come in here and they just need a fresh touch. I pray you'd minister hope. And we invite you, Prince of Peace, we invite you, would you come? And would you walk these aisles? And would you minister to us in Jesus' name? Amen.